and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And coming up on this week's edition, well, later we're going to be joined by non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, Mr. Thomas Feeney, with a fixture preview for this weekend's games. We're also going to be joined by the managers at Hyde United, Gainsborough Trinity and Atherton Colls. And of course, we're going to be joined shortly by James Hayes for a look back at all last weekend's results in both the FA Trophy, great result for Morpeth Town, and of course the NPL Premier Division. But before that, there's only one place we can start this week's show, and that's in the news that Graham Fenton has left his role as manager at South Shields and has been replaced by former Sunderland striker Kevin Phillips. And for more on this news now, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with football reporter from the northeast of England. It's a welcome back to the show to Mark Carruthers. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. And this has been a really, really up and down week, hasn't it, really, for news. Firstly, we had South Shields with a good result at the weekend, 3 points there. Then the announcement Graham Fenton was taking garden leave. And then we've had Kevin Phillips announced as manager all in the space of a few days. It's certainly been a whirlwind. I mean, what's it been like as a journalist covering it all?
Well, as one person said, one person quite prominent at the club said on Thursday, you know, it's never a dull moment here at South Shields. But yeah, it's been strange. I don't mind saying contrasting emotions. I've got a good relationship with Graham Fenton, one that's been built up over the last decade of his time at North Shields and South Shields. So there was a little bit of sadness, I would say, that he's gone. I think he's done an unbelievable job there alongside Lee Picton. It's certainly an interesting appointment. It's an eye-catching one.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come to the appointment in a second, but just a final thought, really, on Graham's achievements. Like you said, I mean, you've built up a relationship with him. I have as well. I mean, he's a cracking, engaging guest. And what him and Lee have achieved at South Shields over the years has been phenomenal, hasn't it? And I don't want to open up old wounds, but we have to go back to the season that never was, really, for what could have been at South Shields, but Graham leaves with a good legacy.
Which was spoken about yesterday, to be honest, and kind of off the record chats with certain people where, you know, the same things could have been also very different if different decisions had been taken that were out of their control. And let's be honest, I think we were both there that day against when they played FC United in Manchester. And I think, although there was still, 12 games left, the title, to me, felt like it was effectively sealed that day. Where South Shields would have been now, I don't know if they'd been promoted, but I've got a fair assumption that they would have been challenging well in the National League North. And you know, they would have been one of the only full-time teams in that division as well. They would have been competing with the likes of Gateshead for players, and things could have been very different. But I look back at Graham's time at the club. You know, people forget how controversial it was when he left North Shields to go to South Shields. It shocked everyone, particularly in the Northeast, obviously. Because he'd had such a good time at North Shields and such a successful time winning the Vars, winning the Senior Cup, winning promotion in Northern League Division 1. But I personally don't think anyone blamed him for going to South Shields, because you could see what the, I hate using this word, but the project was there, you know, the ambition was there. And in that first season, to do the quadruple, they won the Durham Challenge Cup, the Northern League title, they won the Northern League Cup, and then, of course, won the Vars comfortably at Wembley against Cleethorpes Town. Another promotion followed. It's just been continuing success. And I think what shouldn't be underplayed, and I said this yesterday, is that Graham has guided the club, obviously along with Geoff Thompson and Lee Picton, through a really difficult period with COVID and a transition towards full-time professional status. And, you know, no matter what South Shields go on and do, no matter what Kevin Phillips achieved, I feel it would be great to see if people will always remember what Graham Fenton did for South Shields Football Club, the same as, and I'll say this, as people shouldn't forget what John King did before him.
Absolutely. Well, sending our best to Graham, and hopefully we'll catch up soon. But Kevin Phillips has come in. You've written an opinion piece, Mark, in the Chronicle up there in Sunderland, just making the comparison, really, with the impact Julio Arca had at the club, another Sunderland legend. I mean, that's what Kevin has to do, really. He has to jump in with both feet, doesn't he?
We've both been in non-league football long enough to know that there are former Premier League players have come down to this level and have the attitude that they are better than non-league football, and we know how that inevitably ends. And Julio was one of them that went quite the opposite way. You know, he embraced non-league football, he embraced the local community at South Shields and the excitement of the club, he embraced the the quirks of Northern League football at the time. You know, people forget that his debut was made in Division Two of the Northern League. So, you know, he was going to small grounds that were very different to the way he was used to playing. Kevin Phillips has got to do the same. Admittedly, you know, he's not going to smaller grounds in sort of Northern League terms. He will be going to some fairly big places in the Northern Premier League, but he has to embrace it. He has to immerse himself in everything that South Shields are doing. From what we heard yesterday at his press conference, he's moved up here. He's moved into the area. He is willing to fully commit to it, to interact with his staff. I think he'll be bringing in someone else to work alongside him as well, as the likes of John Shaw and Wes Brown. I should say that's Wes Brown, who's already the club, not the former Manchester United and Sunderland player. But it does sound as if he's going to do that. And I think Julio's a great example. You know, he came accused of being a publicity stunt, but he left a hero. And if Kevin can follow Julio's example, he'll not go far wrong.
And what a game to kick off the Kevin Phillips era with Warrington away. Huge game this weekend. The other thing we have to say is Lee Picton. He's obviously, he's the chief exec, but that level of experience is pretty handy, I'm going to suggest, especially with this challenge at Cantilever Park this weekend.
It will be, yeah. And I think, again, I mentioned him there, but John Shaw as well. You know, he's been at the club for a good 4 or 5 years now. I've kind of lost track of all time with COVID. I think it's 5 years. But, you know, people like John Shaw, that's been in non-league football for a long time now and knows this level. They've got a number of players, people like Robert Briggs, who's been around as well. So he's got a lot of experience of the level around him, and that will help. So it is a big game. And what I would say is I've analysed his first 5 games and they are awful, to be honest. He's been given a crash course in Northern Premier League football because, you know, Witten at home on Tuesday night, we know that Witten are starting to improve and they are one of these battle-hardened sides at this level. And then they play Buxton and Matlock, and we know what that means. And then the week after, they go to Morpeth, which, you know, the form Morpeth are in, you wouldn't want to face them at any time the way they're going. So it is a real, real severe test of how things are going to go over the next sort of 3 to 4 weeks. And I think in terms of South Shields, once they come through that, we'll know whether the expectation is a title challenge or whether it's playoffs at best.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting few weeks. Like you say, I mean, those fixtures there are eye-watering, aren't they? Let's be honest. But Mark, just before you go, you're covering, you mentioned the Witten game. You'll be there at Mariners Park on Tuesday for that home debut for Kevin Phillips on the touchline. How could people keep abreast of all your work up there in the Northeast?
So it's via Twitter, Mark Carruthers _. I will have a piece in this weekend's non-league paper on Kevin Phillips and the appointment at South Shields. But yeah, just follow me on Twitter. And I think my Instagram's the same handle as well. So either of those two.
Football journalist from the Northeast of England, Mark Carruthers there, speaking to me on Friday. So later in the show, we'll be talking more about this weekend's match for South Shields as they take on Warrington Town at Cantilever Park on Saturday, as we'll be joined later by Thomas Feeney, who'll be doing a good old-fashioned fixture preview for this weekend's matches, not just at Cantilever Park, but across the NPL Premier Division. But before that, it's now time to welcome back a dear old friend to the show and to look back at all last weekend's results in both Trophy and the league. It's a big welcome back to the show to James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you? Did you have a good week?
Well, it's been a very interesting week.
Yeah, so obviously on Saturday, you went up to Morpeth. And I'm not saying it was all down to you, James, but you did bring some good luck to Morpeth. A big congratulations to everyone at the club. What a victory over Boston in the fourth round of the FA Trophy. How was it last week?
Well, it's the first, obviously, because I think it's the first time I've seen a club winning the Cup of Trophy once, so that breaks that streak. But yeah, Morpeth would 100% the better side on the day there. They had one or two moments in the match in the first half, particularly in the last 5 minutes, where Boston come back into the game. But other than that, it was a complete performance, especially the second half. They controlled the game, just didn't let Boston have an opportunity to play football.
The good news is the home form that we've been talking about for a long time now, it came up against not just Boston United last weekend, but also James Hayes' losing streak when he goes visiting NPL grounds, when there's a cup competition going. So well done to Morpeth, winning on both fronts there on Saturday. Let's have some post-match action from that victory. Shortly after the full-time whistle, here is Craig Lynch, Morpeth Town Manager, speaking with Highwaymen TV on YouTube.
A 4-3 win this afternoon against Boston in the FA Trophy puts us in the last 16 for the first time ever. What are your thoughts on the match? Oh,
there's not enough words, not enough good words to describe that today. Absolutely outstanding, outstanding. The way we character to get back into it, 1-0 down early doors, and you think, all right, 2-1, we play some great stuff. I don't think anyone could say anything about we were a better team today, and we've ended up going in it 3-2 up in half time, and we've come out and we've had chance after chance and gone 4-3 up, and we could have killed the game off, but the character and the resilience from the lads. You come to Craig Park, and this is what it's about. This is non-league, and we're flying, and it's down to the lads. Absolutely outstanding.
What did you say to the team at half-time when you've conceded twice in 4 minutes at the end of the half, and it's turned the momentum in the game?
Well, the thing for me is I was disappointed with the goals conceded, but it wasn't as if they came here and we've tore us apart. We've given them 3 goals today, and then if we, on another day, we could have been in a half-time up, but I said, look, there's nothing to fear. We knew there's nothing to fear. We've a couple of mistakes and Mickey slip, you kind of help that. And if you come in here and we turn us apart, then we've got a job on. But it was only, for me, there was only one team that looked like winning that again, and that was us, and that's down to the lads and just buying into what we want to do here. And this is what it's about. Last 16, we're still a long way to go from Wembley, but we're still in the heart and we can still dream about it.
Craig Lynch there, manager of Morpeth Town, following that 4-3 win over Boston United. And a big thank you to Morpeth Town's YouTube channel there, Highwaymen TV. A link to their channel is available in the description to this podcast. And a big congratulations once again to everyone at Morpeth. And we'll have more on that Morpeth Town match against York City in the fifth round of the FA Trophy in a couple of weeks' time. But, James, while we've got you here, just to talk about the results in the league, because there were some big results. Let's go to the league leaders, Matlock Town. Bamber Bridge drew 0-0 with FC United. FC United, they're carrying on their unbeaten run in the league. I think they're the most informed team at the moment now. Bamber Bridge there with a good point. So, what could Matlock Town do in the meantime? They travelled to Witton Albion and beat Witton Albion by 1-0. Reece Kendall scoring after 15 minutes, and that was enough for the Derbyshire side, opening up a 4-point gap on Saturday. They followed that up, incidentally, on Tuesday night with a 0-0 draw over Scarborough. Given Scarborough's recent form, that's a pretty good result. Matlock, 5 points clear, up at the top after this week's matches. South Shields do have 2 games in hand over them. They're 6 points back, but Matlock have a game in hand over Bamber Bridge. So, I mean, that was a big weekend just gone, I feel, for Matlock.
Again, this is where we've seen the 1-0s, 2-0s, so Matlock's coming to effect a little bit now. Back on a 5-game unbeaten streak since the defeat over Christmas. It's down to Matlock now to prove they can actually go and win this division, especially on the fact no one give them a chance at the start of the season. This is their point to prove now, really.
Well, let's have some post-match reaction from that 1-0 victory for Matlock Town. And here's Paul Phillips speaking with Matlock Town's YouTube channel shortly after the final whistle in Cheshire.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Matthew Rhodes, and I'm joined by the Matlock Town manager, Paul Phillips. Philo, a 1-0 victory away from home today at Witton Albion in the league. You've said a few times recently, just within the last few weeks, that you think the performances have been a bit below par. Would you say it's improved today, or was it a continuation of that?
I thought first half, like you said, I thought we controlled the game quite well first half, then second half. But I think that comes back down to lack of resources. Obviously, we've got a fair few players out, a couple coming back. I'm not going to blame that. We've won the game, but for me, we just lacked pace up front. We lacked a bit of creativity. Obviously, Luke Daly coming at the end, got a few minutes, so that's a good thing for us. But I just thought, all in all, we dug deep. Witton threw everything at us, and I thought, to be fair, they deserved something out of the game. But again, I think we've defended well. Can't really remember our keeper making many saves in that last 20-30 minutes. Can't remember making many saves throughout the game, to be honest. But I just think we've got to be a bit more ruthless when we've had chances first half to score 2 and 3 goals, and that's always been the case. Listen, we've tried in vain, and we're still trying to try and get another striker in, as probably everyone else is in our position. Unfortunately, at the moment in time, we're hitting brick walls here, there and everywhere, but we'll keep going. But I thought, listen, credit to the lads. I'm not going to be selling DVDs of this, but in the gates, 3 points, we beat them, 6 points taken off them, and it chalks off another one going towards the end of the season.
Paul Phillips, manager of Matlock Town, speaking following his side's 1-0 win at Witton Albion last weekend. And a big thank you, as always, to Matlock Town's YouTube channel. A link to that channel on YouTube is available in the description to the show. Now, James, let's go to fourth place Buxton. They had an epic encounter with fifth place Warrington Town. It was a dramatic game, I think it's safe to say. Jordan Buckley opening the scoring after 5 minutes or so at Silverlands for Warrington. Then Jamie Ward got an equaliser from the penalty spot. Jordan Buckley scored his second goal on the half-hour mark for Warrington to see them retake the lead. Then Tom Elliott gets an equaliser 5 minutes before half-time. And then right on half-time, Warrington take the lead again to go in 3-2 up at half-time. And then Jamie Ward scored another equaliser for Buxton with 15 minutes left to play. Dramatic game. Could be a really important point, that, for Buxton, given recent form.
Came out to rescue the point in there, especially with the last couple of weeks. Tough one to think, because you got to think of half empty, half full situations here. You got to look at the form in the last couple of weeks, and again, the fact they're starting to lose pace to the league leaders. They're still in there, and it might be the turn of the form Buxton need.
Well, we mentioned it earlier. Scarborough, a good 0-0 draw on Tuesday night at the league leaders, Matlock. That was after Scarborough beat Stalybridge Celtic, incidentally, on Saturday afternoon by 1-0. Lewis Maloney there scoring in added time for the North Yorkshire side. Scarborough, as a result of this week's results, James, they're in it, aren't they? They're in six, yeah. But tied now with Warrington. They'll play two games more, but they're involved. They are involved.
Yeah, indeed. So, and in fairness, Scarborough do enjoy a late goal at the moment, because I think that's four in out of the last six games where they've won it in the last minute of the game or the last 2-3 or rescued a point as such. But yeah, Scarborough's forming up there. They've started to get the goal scorers coming back in as well.
Well, let's have some post-match reaction from that 0-0 draw on Tuesday night at Causeway Lane. Here's Jonathan Greening, manager of Scarborough Athletic, speaking with Scarborough Athletic's YouTube channel shortly after the full-time whistle.
So, a point away at the top of the league, but maybe we deserved a little bit more.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we had a bit of bad luck in the first half, losing Keyser and Hesse due to injury. So we had to make subs early on, which we didn't probably really want to. I thought we started the game, the first 10 minutes, not so well, not like we have done recently. But I think we were probably a better team for the rest of the game. I think we've had chances on the counter-attack. We've had a few balls whipped across the goal. Just need to be a bit braver trying to get onto make contact on the balls that have been whipped in. And then I think Brad in the second half has had a great chance where the keeper spilt it, and an open goal, he just slid it past the post, so could have got 1-0 up. But the boys were terrific today. I thought their attitude and application from back to front, especially with the injuries as well. Watto coming into the right back slot was terrific, and Luca coming into centre midfield was terrific. And I think from the goalkeeper all the way to the striker, they worked the socks off, and they definitely deserved a point, that's for sure.
So we've got Grantham at the weekend, back at home. How important will it be for the fans to get behind?
Massively. It's, you know, I've mentioned it all season, it's if we can get the place bouncing, it's like a 12th man. You know, I think recently the supporters, you know, have been brilliant. I think you know, when the team is doing well and the confidence is high, you know, it spreads around and it spreads to the fans. And you know, you look at the goal at the weekend where, you know, we scored a last minute winner and all the fans celebrating, all the players celebrating, and it was a great atmosphere. And hopefully we can do that on Saturday against Grantham. It'll be a difficult game. Just said to the boys in there, you know, don't take them for granted, because you know, we played some really tough games, and I don't want them to take the foot off the gas. So it'll be a tough game. I'll give them a good warning about it, you know, but if we can get the crowd in there and bouncing, and hopefully it can be our 12th man and we can put a good performance on, because we've had probably, I'd say, apart from the first 10 minutes today, we've probably had eight really good performances, and, you know, we 100% deserved a point today, and probably could have nicked it, again.
Jonathan Greening there speaking following his side's 0-0 draw at league leaders Matlock Town on Tuesday night. Big thank you to Scarborough Athletics media team as always, and a link to Scarborough Athletic TV on YouTube is available in the description to this show. Now, James, Whitby Town, they have got two games in hand over Scarborough Athletic, but They were beaten on Saturday by Atherton Coles by 2-0. I mean, that's a fantastic result. We'll be joined by Brad Cook, manager at Atherton Coles, in a second. But we had Mark Fell on the show last week, and we were saying, you know, it's not done yet for those mid-table sides like Stafford Rangers, like Lancaster, like Morpeth, but it's going to need wins to get from the periphery and get involved, a bit like Scarborough have. Atherton Coles, they're 8 points from the playoffs, and they're beating teams like Whitby. So they have to be considered, don't they?
You've really got to consider them at this moment in time. Again, just on the facts, a couple of the highlights I've seen from there where goals have been built from the midfield and gone on the counter, and similar situation with Clive Smith for the second to win the game there. I've said it a couple of weeks ago, you can't write them off and you don't want to play them at this moment in time because Atherton are on a little bit of a charge at this moment.
Let's hear now about this charge at Atherton Coles. And here's the manager at Atherton Coles. It's a big welcome back to the show to Brad Cook.
Well, Brad, a big thank you for joining us and a happy new year to you. And first is first, congratulations on that brilliant, brilliant win last weekend. I mean, how was it up in the northeast?
Yeah, it was beautiful. On the way up there, I don't think we could see, honestly, the fog for about an hour getting up there. I was thinking, there's a chance that this might be off. And then as soon as we hit Whitby, it's like the gods opened the heavens for us. It was absolutely gorgeous. Sun in the sky, you know, nice blue skies. So it was a nice day all round. And obviously the performance topped it off. And we finished off with a couple of drinks in Whitby. So all round, great performance, great place to go. And yeah, it was very enjoyable, mate.
It's one of them first halves as well where, you know, it's difficult, isn't it, to go from this side of the Pennines over there to the North Yorkshire coast and, you know, put a performance in, especially in the first half. But that's where the goals came from.
It was, yeah. And, you know, of all the sides we've played this season, when we played Whitby or at home, they've probably surprised and impressed me the most out of everybody. I thought they were really well organised. Thought they've got a cracking side together, two really good managers. So I knew it was going to be difficult going up there. But yeah, we started brilliantly. And you know, we've made a new signing, Deck Daniels. We've been struggling at the top end of the pitch with injuries and having that focal point as a number nine. And he come in and it kind of just galvanised us really. And we looked dangerous from the off. And yeah, really, really strong start, right on the front foot, and the momentum just kind of grew from that first half performance, if I'm being honest.
So we're recording this interview on the 20th of January. Atherton Coles are in 10th, 8 points from the playoffs in a season where not many teams are stringing results together. So I don't think 8 points is that big a gap at this stage, to be honest. What do you think, if I can ask you that question, Brad?
I'm keeping my feet firmly on the ground. You know, it's don't get me wrong, we've done well. We're in a good position, but I'm not massively surprised of where we are. We've got a total in mind that we've been doing every 10 games, and we've continued to do that. And wherever we are in the table after that kind of 10 block, that's kind of where we're assessing from. So we're on track. If we get to 30 games and we're in and around our points total, which we're not a million miles off, then I'll be pleased. But I'm certainly not going to be getting carried away and looking at playoffs and stuff like that. We're just going to keep churning away. We've got a great group of lads that are all working hard for each other. And wherever it takes us, you know, it's yet to be seen. But we'll just continue doing what we're doing.
All that being said about keeping your feet on the ground and all that, Brad, this weekend, you're obviously, you know, you're playing a team just above you in the league table, is Stafford Rangers. It's at home as well. If results go a certain way, you could be 1 point behind Whitby and above FC United in the league table. So how do you maintain that, you know, flying under the radar and making sure no one gets too giddy, like I am?
Yeah. Just got to keep doing what we've been doing all season, and that's just chipping it away one game at a time and then review it after 10. I'm not just saying that about 10 games just as a bit of a gimmick. That's how we've broke it down, and after every 10 games, you know, we'll assess whether we're above target or below target. So we'll just do exactly the same again. I mean, the thing is with us this season, our away record hasn't been great. Or I didn't think it had been great. Look, we've won 5 away from home, which is, I think it's the same as Buxton, but we've played a few games in hand and South Shields and stuff. So we've got 17 points from 15 away from home, which is okay. Our home record's really strong. We're, we're averaging nearly 2 points, 2 points a game. So if we can continue that till the end of the season, I'll be happy. We've got 11 home games left, 6 away games left, and it starts this weekend. And it's a bit of a battle of the stats this weekend for those that like the stats. We've got a really good home record. Stafford are brilliant away from home. We've only lost 2 all season away from home. So, you know, it's going to be a really, really interesting game Saturday. But hopefully we can come on the right side of the result. But I know that it's going to be really, really difficult because they're a really good side, Stafford.
And it's been a couple of months, I think, Brad, since we last spoke. How are you finding this season? Because, you know, to be where you are, you know, competing with the teams we've already mentioned, it's been a brilliant season thus far, hasn't it, for Atherton Colts? And, you know, long may that continue into the second half of the season.
Yeah, we've done nothing's won or lost in January. We've got to see where we are at the end of April, because ultimately that's what you're judged on. I think if you would have asked a lot of people at the beginning of the season where we would have been, they would have probably thought we'd have been bottom four, bottom five, which is understandable with the resources that we've got. So we're exceeding expectations, but you know, the group's a really good, young, hungry group, and they deserve success. So I just want to really make sure that we build that momentum going into the last part of the season and, you know, hopefully have a strong finish. But it's everyone off the pitch as well, and my staff, you know, I've got an amazing staff that work tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure that we're, you know, our scouting reports, our tactics, our training is all up to plan, and then it's down to the players to deliver. So it's really a team effort, and like I say, hopefully we can finish strong, and that'll be, you know, a deserved end to the season, which has been pretty decent up to this point.
Well, Brad Cook, manager of Atherton Colts, a big thank you for taking the time out your first evening to come on the show. Really appreciate it, and all the best in the coming weeks.
Thank you, mate. Cheers, Ben.
Brad Cook there, manager of Atherton Colts, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. So Whitby Town in seventh, 4 points from the playoffs. FC United, a draw with Bamber Bridge. A credible draw, James, I think we could say, can't we, for both teams. I think they would have took that on Saturday. It's they kind of, I was there obviously, and they kind of cancelled each other out, if the truth be known. But FC United, 7 points from the playoffs. So they're involved too, a bit like we were just discussing there with Atherton Colts.
Yeah, unlike what I said about Buxton Warrington, I think the draw was the best result for both of them there. I think it's not the end of the world for them at this moment in time. But again, FC United, we've said it, the form starts to pick up. It's after Christmas. They always play well after there. And they're picking up points against the top sides. And again, that's what's going to help them.
What about Stafford Rangers? They had a 0-0 draw on Saturday against Hyde United. We're going to be joined by Jim Gannon in a second at Hyde. Stafford Rangers haven't been that great at home, have they? So that's not too bad a result.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at the most recent records there for Stafford, they've not won at home for the last 5 games now. So, but for Hyde United, they have that little bit of a rough patch again over Christmas. But they're picking up the points, mainly in draws than anything.
A good point that for Hyde United at Marston Road. And for more now on Hyde United and that point in Staffordshire at the weekend, on Friday, I caught up with the manager at Ewan Fields. It's a big welcome back to the show to Jim Gannon. Well, Jim, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on that 0-0 draw at Stafford Rangers at the weekend. An important point in the grand scheme of things. How was your afternoon?
It was tough conditions, a tough side to go to, and I think I was really pleased with the clean sheet, because although we played well against Michelob and Matlock, we were cursing the fact that we were conceding from set plays and dead balls. And I felt against Stafford, we were excellent in that department. So all the work we did during the week paid off. We got first contact on every dead ball into our box. And it was a platform for the point. Just disappointed with our attack and play, because we created some opportunities and never really looked ruthless enough to take them. So a fair result, and definitely a step in the right direction in terms of the clean sheet.
Yeah, and after the Matlock result as well, it's just important to just keep the points ticking over at the moment, isn't it? As we get to this period where, you know, some teams start to string results together, it's just about keeping your noses ahead of everyone else, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we beat Ashton and started a really good run of 6 games, four straight wins, and we looked in a good place. But over the Christmas, although they were very good draws against Gainsborough and Staterbridge, The edge had gone off us a little bit. There was a little bit of fatigue, a couple of players missing through injury, and that affected us in the Mikulova and Matlock game. But I think a little bit of regrouping on the training ground, the addition of one or two players, and just working really hard on the training ground to get back to good habits, I think has made a difference. And I'm confident that we'll be really competitive Saturday and in the coming games if we can keep everybody fit.
And what's your, because it's been a while since me and you caught up. How have you found it more generally? Because like you say, you've been 16th, 17th or there or thereabouts. It's been a bit nip and tuck with games for Trinity, but you've managed to keep yourselves away from the danger zone. So you must be pleased with that, given, you know, the nature of squads in this turbulent season, you know, the ins and outs and that kind of thing. So you must be pleased with the general trajectory at the club.
Yeah, I think we're all pleased, but without being over the moon, because obviously we're conscious that there's a lot of work to be done to secure our status, and that's the first priority. But I think we went through a terrible November. There was a lot of problems at the start of the season, and then when the manager left, that created a little bit of a turnover. And then we had an incredible spate of injuries that affected our performances and took a lot of confidence out of the group, and we needed to rebuild. But the club were asking me to recruit players, but I thought there was enough quality in the club as long as we got everybody back fit, got them physically fitter and more durable. And then slowly the results had improved, and we got to a point where I think we're in a good position to consolidate our position. And I'm just challenging the players now to step up and bring all the aspects of their game, both the defensive and the attacking, together, and make sure that we start winning games and get ourselves in a position where we can see the season out in a good position and also have confidence then of what might be able to be achieved next season.
And with regards to this weekend, without, you know, giving too much away for the Whitby Town management team and all that, I mean, how much are you looking forward to this weekend's match with Whitby, and how tricky is it going to be?
Oh, the very good side. I think there's lessons to be learned from Whitby. Whitby generally play a 4-4-2, but they know how to tightly shape up in midfield with one of the wingers to make it competitive in midfield. But I think Lee will be lamenting the fact that they've gone off the boil. And I think that it just shows you how competitive this league is. It's all right having a good squad and a good group of players, but if you don't work really hard, you're not going to get results. And I think they've lost the last three games. So although they're a very good group of players and they're in a good position in the league, we've got to take some comfort in the fact that they've lost the last three games. They don't look like they're going to come back from losing position. So, you know, it's a game that we should, if we play well, we've got a chance of winning. But again, I never take anything for granted. I think you've always got to turn up. You've always got to put a shift in. Sometimes work rate and effort can override quality or organisation. And we have to be at our physical best in every game and be very, very competitive if we're going to have a chance of showing our qualities. So although Whitby and the next game against Buxton are on paper really tough games based upon where they are in the league, but they're actually two of the least informed teams. So we should be trying to go into these games with confidence, and we won't be looking to keep it tight and pinch a goal. We'll be looking to impose ourselves on the game like we did against Stafford, and hopefully that we find that cutting edge at home when the pitch is a little bit quicker and slicker.
Jim, you've ruined me next question, because that's what I was going to say. I mean, you're taking on Whitby, you're taking on Buxton, and both management must have, you know, looked at the coming fixtures and rolled their eyes at Hyde United and gone, oh, goodness me. You are that bananas, kid. You are proof that there are no easy games in this league, aren't you? So, I mean, sorry, Jim.
No, I was going to say, I mean, we've seen that against South Shields, and South Shields was a huge opportunity for us to actually see how far we've come on this good run. And to go behind there and come back and win, and not to hang on for a dear lives, but actually to be worthy winners, create numerous opportunities, play the game very well, put a lot of work into that game. And it was a brilliant achievement for the lads. And we've seen some results in the league that belie where people are. So I think every team now, both at the top and the bottom, if they really turn up the intensity, you've got a very good chance of winning games. Even against Matlock, I felt that it was 1-1. We got a very legitimate goal ruled out that created the tension in the game. We had a player sent off. But even I lament the fact that that game would have been a real opportunity for us to show how far we've come against the league leaders, the best team in the league. And we weren't far away. We just have to address a couple of bits and keep working hard at all aspects of our game. And if we do that, then we can compete with everybody. But the, like I said, it's all right me talking like that. The players all have to turn up on Saturday and make sure they work really hard to get results.
Jim Gannon there, manager of Hyde United, speaking to me on Friday. Well, James Hayes is still with us. Let's talk about the final match from Saturday we've not spoke about yet. Gainsborough Trinity beating Basford United by 1-0. Tom Shaw joining us in a second from Gainsborough Trinity. It's kind of similar to what we said last week about that win for Stalybridge Celtic a couple of weeks ago. Gets them to 30 points. It's psychological, isn't it? Because you're not too far off then 40 points. And, you know, they've opened up a 7-point gap now to the relegation zone, which is a bit more comfortable, isn't it? They have played a few games more. But the home form, again, it's looking like that's going to be the key for Gainsborough Trinity this season.
Deservedly so. They've been playing good football and it's been entertaining at the moment. 7 points from the relegation zones at the moment. So, again, they're doing what they need to do to stay up, and they're entertaining football as well. That's the main thing. A mid-table finishing beyond them at this moment in time.
Well, we should say, I think we said this last time at Tom Shaw, but based on home form, out of the last 10 games at home, Gainsborough Trinity would be second in the league table, which is just outstanding, really, isn't it? So let's go back to North Elm now and hear from Gainsborough Trinity's manager. It's a big welcome back to the show, to Tom Shaw. Well, Tom, a big thank you for joining us, and big congratulations for that victory over Basford last weekend. How was your afternoon?
Enjoyable. We had a really good first half performance. We dominated the ball, dominated territory, and just couldn't quite open the door. But we were really pleased with how we've gone about our work. I'm living in Nottingham, very aware of Basford's talented players, especially on the front line. So we knew it would be a tough afternoon, and they had a good spell, 20-25 minutes, where they went pretty direct with their build-up and tried to feed the front three, who caused us some problems. Our goalkeeper, Matt Yates, was excellent, made some saves and kept us at 0-0, and then we scored a really good goal with some high-quality bit of play from a couple of wide players, and Dec Bacon was in the right place at the right time, which he does really well, and it was a big 3 points for us.
It's always good, isn't it, when I'd imagine for a manager when the substitute scores, and so late on in the day as well. You must have given yourself a bit of a knowing nod and wink after that.
No, we had two lads that went on as substitutes, Cameron Johnson, who joined us from Stamford, and Dec Bacon, who's been great for us since he joined us, and he just found himself on the bench at the minute, but he'll soon get his opportunities. And those two went on and had a massive impact. We were under the cosh a little bit. We then had two injuries that made us shuffle the pack a little bit, and we changed shape and changed a few bits around. But those two went on and they ran hard, they ran forward, they carried the ball for us, got us up the pitch. Were really unselfish for how they went about their business, and both of them were involved in the goal and played a massive part in getting over the line. So I was pleased for Dec to get his goal, and hopefully there's a few more between now and the end of the season. But Cameron made a huge impact. That's the first time he'd met the players and first time he'd got on the pitch for Gainsborough, and he was excellent.
And now you go back into the dressing room after that, and you find yourself, you would have known this already, but 3 points behind Basford with a game in hand. And you know, we caught up a few weeks ago now, didn't we, just before Christmas. And, you know, that's a bit more healthy, isn't it? That league position and the points tally now.
It is, and we know we've got some work to do. We need to win some games just to make everything right. But I think we are looking up now as a group, and we're looking who we can catch. And obviously, that takes us a bit closer to a really good side in Basford United. But we've tried to isolate every game, Ben, and we've got 16 left, and we'll prepare for each game individually. We won't look at any targets for like a group of five or six. It's just every weekend, every Saturday or Tuesday, we prepare the best we can, go and give it everything, be content with our performance, and then the result will be the result. But we know we're capable of winning games, and we've shown that against the odds a little bit at times. So we've got 16 opportunities, 16 challenges, and we're going to face them head on. But we're definitely looking up and positive.
And you mentioned picking those games. There's obviously
We've spoke about this. You must be getting fed up of being asked about the away form versus the home form, so I'm not going to ask you that. But it's about those games against Grantham and Witton, where you know it was there were draws, and that's better than the defeat against those teams, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, it perhaps kills a bit of enthusiasm from them, where they could have caught us and the valuable points. Like any point for us this year, Ben, with how we're going about our work is valuable. Like we know where we sit in the food chain, so to speak, and we have to graft and we have to be at full tilt to compete with every single team. So when we pick our points up on the road, they're really valuable. But even at home, someone told me we're fifth in the home form table now, and that's we're very proud of that. But every point we can get is very, really valuable, and we know what target we've probably got to get to be okay, but we want to go above and beyond that. And I think we are capable. We've got some really talented players who are learning on the job a little bit this year as they dip their toe into adult men's football. So we're getting better and better, and we want to finish the season in a really good place.
And you could be in a very good place after this coming weekend, because you're taking on Radcliffe. It is away from home, but you're taking on a team just 2 points above you. I mean, if results go a certain way, you could be up to 14th. This weekend, which would be amazing, wouldn't it, really? So, I mean, how important is this game? I mean, like you say, you're just taking each game as it comes, but, you know, it's results like that would be a step in the right direction, wouldn't it, and confirm what you're trying to achieve.
Most definitely, and it would be a brilliant outcome to leapfrog Radcliffe, but starting with tonight's training session, we'll just talk about the process and how we're going to do it and what we've got to pride ourselves on. They've obviously... they got a brilliant bounce from the change of manager, and he's not obviously a good manager, but a very good player as well, Bobby Grant. So we know we're in for a very tough game up there. They've won some very tough matches in recent times and got some good players. So we're going to have to be very good on Saturday to come away with anything. But we just keep trying to find that formula away from home. I think the additions that we've made in the last couple of weeks, and maybe one more before the weekend, will help us just add a little bit of steel when we go on the road and a bit of nous. So it's an important game, and we'll do everything we can in the trip up to the northwest and hopefully come away with something positive.
Tom Shaw there, manager of Gainsborough Trinity, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Well, James, that's it for this look back at last week's results in FA Trophy and the NPL Premier Division. This weekend, there's some huge games. We are recording the show on Wednesday this week, apart from the manager's interviews, which happen later in the week. But fingers crossed, these matches go ahead. It could be a really, really pivotal weekend. James, how can people keep across both pitch inspections, but more importantly, all the goals and updates and of all the exciting things that are going to be happening on Saturday afternoon across the NPL Premier Division?
Yeah, so on Twitter, Northern Premier League, best way to keep up with anything with pitch inspections on the day. But then when you move along, it's official Northern Premier on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok, and a football web pages for everything that happens, for every kick in the game and every goal that happens across the country.
Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to look into the future. And joining me here, very much looking into the future with me, is Thomas Feeney, non-league journalist from the other side of the Pennines. Hello, Thomas. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. I'm all good. So, just to be clear, disclaimer purposes and all that, this part of the show is being recorded on Wednesday afternoon. So, any news with regards to, I don't know, managerial changes, COVID, the weather, floodlight failure, anything, we just don't know at time of recording. So please do take everything that we're saying right now with a huge grain of salt. And it's just about entertainment. We're just having a chat about the fixtures this weekend, whether they're on or not. So big thank you, Thomas, for joining us, and a big Happy New Year to you as well. Right, where should we start? Should we start with game of the day? I think it's an easy one, this one. If you don't agree with me, if you're a supporter of the other 20 clubs in the league, don't get in touch. Matlock against Bamber Bridge. Thomas, this is huge. Big yeah. Game, this one. Big game for Bamber Bridge, I think, as maybe not so much for Matlock. Now they've got a bit of breathing room.
Yeah, it's a very interesting game. And obviously, that bit of breathing room would have obviously been extended just that little bit more if they'd been able to beat Scarborough in midweek. So I think that will have maybe given Bamber Bridge just a little bit of, it could have been 2 points worse, and obviously after the draw against FC United last weekend. But I mean, it's just a huge game, isn't it? And I think we really are in that thing of, for Bamber Bridge, if they were to lose this, all of a sudden it's 8 points and they've played a game more. I mean, you know, it becomes a real task that for them. Well, for Matlock, again, while the pressure maybe is off that little bit, there is also that argument that the amount of confidence a win for Bamber Bridge, it would give them, you know, to know that that gap would be only 2 points. And yes, Matlock would have a game in hand on Bamber Bridge, but they drew against Scarborough. You know, it's a tough league. There's a lot of tough games coming up. So, I mean, it is just, it's a huge game, but obviously there's so much of the season to go. It isn't a season-defining game, but it certainly is an important one.
For those people who are writing correspondence now into the show to say, oi, Ben, I heard what you said about Matlock Town against Bamber Bridge being game of the weekend, but I respectfully disagree with you, Ben. It's this game here. It's Warrington against South Shields. Wow. What a weekend. Thomas, I mean, this game here, if Bamber Bridge and Matlock, one of them, or maybe the pair of them, are going to drop points. You mentioned the games played for Bamber Bridge might have a role to play in the coming weeks. South Shields have got so many games in hand, but it is a trip into the unknown with Kevin Phillips just joining the club recently as manager. So what's your thoughts on this one at Cantilever Park on Saturday?
Well, I mean, in terms of, you know, the managerial change, it felt like they were clearing the decks a couple of weeks ago. You know, there's been a couple of decisions made where players have left. And, you know, it didn't really, I'll be honest now, it didn't particularly dawn on me that they were going to make the change when they've made the change. Because, you know, they won last weekend and it all kind of came, you know, within a 6-hour period. It was right, managerial departure. And then about 2 hours before it was announced, it kind of got leaked that, you know, people were messaging saying, right, Kevin Phillips, it's going to happen. And you look at the reputation that he had as a player, you look at his coaching record, you know, obviously, though, he's never been the first team manager of a club. And the expectation levels for South Shields are the only full-time team in this division. I mean, they've got to hit the ground running pretty quickly, haven't they? And when you look at tough games, opening matches, you know, Warrington are another team that, you know, they are always there or thereabouts. Obviously, they've had the managerial change for different reasons a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, for Warrington, they're going into this one with a fantastic win against Bamber Bridge, a tough 3-all draw against Buxton. I mean, it's another crucial game, isn't it? You know, because, again, the momentum that Warrington have got, you know, a defeat there could be quite bad for South Shields. If they were to win, they've still got games in hand on teams that are above them. I mean, it's another one. You know, I think when you said the game of the day, you know, that first time, I think, you know, there will be people that definitely say this one's the game of the day as well. So, I mean, it is just another crucial game, isn't it?
And for those people who are, you know, writing an email right this second going, Thomas, I hear what you're saying there about Warrington against South Shields being game of the day, but I respectfully disagree with you, Thomas. Don't get in touch, dear listener, because I'm aware of what you're going to say. You're going to say it's Morpeth against Buxton, because Morpeth, banging form. What a result last weekend. Buxton, not so much in good form. However, a brilliant result last weekend to claw a point against Warrington in such a ding-dong affair at Silverlands last week. So it's all for the taking here. And with Morpeth, they've got the wind at the backs, haven't they? So this is a huge game as well.
Yeah, I think it was probably the first preview when I was on. I said Morpeth's home form is going to be key to their season, because the last few years at home, they're kind of an absolute animal, aren't they? And you talk about, you know, there are some teams that say, right, the FA Trophy, Do we really want to go with that? You know, you want to concentrate on the league. But Morpeth have really shown how you can use the trophy to gain your momentum. And what a fantastic win it was for them, you know, to beat a team that spent a decent whack in the division above. You look at Buxton, and again, they had their FA Cup run, really win against Scarborough, convincing win against Ashton. And then blame you all at FC United. They lost that one and then all of a sudden lose to Matlock. It's a tough game, but losing to Stafford, lose to Scarborough. Again, a good point in terms of if you're talking about a potential recovery after a bit of a blip against Warrington. But this is a massive game because all of a sudden, if Buxton lose this one, you know, you're looking at it as 1 point from potential six games. You know, it's not great, is it? If they were to win this and results elsewhere go their way, all of a sudden, you could say that they're right back into that title picture. So it's another one. I think I'm going to say this pretty much every game, but there's just is at this moment so much on the line and it is so compact in them top positions and nearer the bottom as well. Not the actual bottom, but nearer the bottom. So there is so much going on.
Yeah. So what we talked about there is the top five. The top five have all got tough games this weekend, that's for sure. And you wouldn't be surprised if all five drop points in some way, shape or form this weekend. And that gives immense hope to those teams outside the playoffs. One of those teams is a team in your patch, Thomas, Scarborough Athletic. They're taking on Grantham this weekend. Scarborough in recent weeks have been phenomenal and are now on the same number of points as Warrington Town and that fifth spot, which a month or so ago, I think we probably discussed it. It was a theory that we were putting out there a month or so ago about teams like Scarborough and FC United and Stafford Rangers getting involved in that playoff race. But Scarborough have done it now. They're involved. And with these weekend's tough matches, it's there for them, isn't it? However, Grantham, they've made some good signings recently. That's a tough game, isn't it? Considering their bottom of the league. It's not a foregone conclusion, this one.
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of that thing with Grantham where they need to be getting results now. You know, they got a really good win away at Baysford and the disappointment of losing to Radcliffe. And there is just so much on the line for them now because we are getting to that point where they've played more games than Witten, they've played more games than Nantwich, more games than Ashton United. I think they've got a game in hand on Mickleover, but they really do need to kind of start just going on a run now, you know. And I think that'll be the disappointment is that they got that win and then they lose the next one. If they could have got something from that, it just builds that bit of momentum. And you talk about momentum, the work Jonathan Greening's done when results... I felt with Scarborough, it had been good result, bad result, good result, bad... And they just never seemed to really pick momentum up. And then recently, it started going for them. It really has. And I think, you know, for me, the result that really stood out was the 1-0 against Stalybridge because it was right at the end, you know, it was, and kind of, you could just see, you know, watch the highlights. There was that belief about them. They were going, right, you know, we're going to get something from this. We're going to get the 3 points. And they threw players forward and they just went for it. And I think that's when you can see, you know, when a team really has momentum, that's the mentality. And then to go away from home against Matlock and get a point, it's a good result. It keeps that unbeaten run going. So for Scarborough and Jonathan Greening, they know just how important it is because it's all well and good picking up results, you know, against your Matlocks, against your Buxtons. They need to be getting results against the likes of Grantham as well in this run during the next few weeks. And it is going to be, it could be a very interesting run for them because they've got, after that Witten and then the big derby against Whitby Town. So, you know, some big games coming up for them.
Yeah, and speaking of Whitby Town, are basically in recent weeks, they've swapped places with Scarborough, which I don't know what the atmosphere is like on the North Yorkshire coast at the moment, but it's competitive, isn't it? I'd say that was the atmosphere. But yeah, Whitby Town, three straight defeats recently. They're travelling to Ewan Fields this weekend against Hyde United. And Hyde United will have... I know Stalybridge were beaten last weekend, but they had a win the weekend earlier. Hyde United will be looking at Stalybridge and Gainsborough's great result last weekend. A win for Hyde would be handy, wouldn't it? And just to relieve that pressure on being dragged into the relegation zone like Gainsborough and Stalybridge have managed over the last fortnight. It's a tough game for Whitby, this.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, again, with Hyde, you know, they had that little bit of a run and they won three in a row and you're just thinking, right, they're gaining enough of a distance to keep this run going just a little bit. And then since then, it's three draws and two losses. And I don't think they'll be looking over their shoulder directly right now, but they know that two or three bad results their way and two or three good results at another club And all of a sudden, they really are right in this battle. So for them, it's with Jim Gannon, I think it's just a case of right needs must right now. Get, you know, just get the results you can and then look at the process going forward. And, I think for Whitby, it's been an interesting one because they got such a good result against South Shields. You know, they gained that draw at the end of last year. And then you're kind of looking at it and thinking, Morpeth's, it's not a great place to go to just because Morpeth were in such good run of form. But then the loss against Lancaster and then the loss against Atherton, all of a sudden, you know, three in a row, you're just looking and thinking, right, they're at risk of being that team that you go, they're going to be in there or thereabouts come the end of it, to all of a sudden thinking, right, they're going to be mid-table. So for them, they really need to kind of just start another run now, because if they don't, they do risk being that mid-table side.
There's a bit of a derby in North Manchester on Saturday as Stalybridge Celtic travel round the M60 to take on FC United of Manchester at Broadhurst Park. FC United with a 0-0 draw at Bamber Bridge at the weekend. And speaking to Neil after the match, it was a match where they didn't want to lose. They wanted to keep the unbeaten run going. That's against the team in the playoff spots. With Stalybridge, it's a game you don't want to slip up against. It's a different kind of challenge, isn't it, for FC?
Yeah, it's a completely different one. And I think, you look at the run of form that FC have been on, it's been a really good run, hasn't it, recently? And I think it's that whole thing of just keeping it going, because you look at that result against Bamber Bridge, it's all about getting that point and just keeping that unbeaten run going. Now against Stalybridge, you'd say a draw would be deemed disappointing just for the expectations that FC United and Manchester have. And for Stalybridge, maybe a little bit of a wounded animal after that result against Scarborough, just to be so near and yet so far to getting something. So, you know, it's another one where the reaction there could be very telling for what happens in this one.
For those people who got in touch, I've sent the email now saying, I think you'll find that X against Y is actually a game of the weekend. I know, dear listener, that there's also another candidate as Atherton Colls take on Stafford Rangers. And I'm saying this is a potential game of the weekend as well, because both teams are on 36 points. It's ninth travelling to 10th. Both teams have been, well, Stafford Rangers certainly have been there or thereabouts on the periphery of the playoff race. But so Atherton Colls, really. It's not quite winner stays on this weekend, but it's certainly a pivotal game.
Yeah, I think that's the thing we're getting there now, where slowly but surely there are going to be games where you go, right, if this team wins that, they've got a great chance. And if this team loses that they are going to be falling out. And I think, you know, for Atherton, they got that great result away at Whitby and, you know, kind of pushed themselves that bit nearer to Whitby and a bit nearer to those playoff places. And you then look at Stafford and the run they've had. And it's been a weird one for Stafford, because you look at it as they're unbeaten in 2022. Fantastic win on New Year's Day against Buxton, a good result against Morpeth, and then a draw against Tide, a 0-0 against Tide. Would they be disappointed with that, or do they look at it as four league games unbeaten? It is that thing of some of these teams are going to probably look at it and go, right, we've drawn that game, it's two drop, while others will look and think, right, well, you know, at least we've kept the unbeaten run going. So this weekend, it is one of those as well where if both teams obviously it ends in a draw, I think both will look at it as, right, we've really lost a little bit of ground there, because obviously teams above are going to drop points, but in the same respect, teams above are going to gain points as well, with so many of them facing each other. So it'll be very interesting to just see what happens with that one.
There's a potential for Lancaster City to move up to eighth on Saturday if results go a certain way, which, you know, that would be FC United slipping up against Stalybridge, which, you know, that they've done that at home this season. They've lost to teams in the lower half of the table, and assume Stafford Rangers and Atherton Colls draw, which again is beyond all realms of possibility, is it? So a big weekend for Lancaster. They're travelling to Ashton United, and it's a big weekend for Ashton United, really, because I think you're going to say the same thing about Nantwich and Witton Albion. Ashton United have got games in hand, but they are where they are in the league table. They need to get away. Yeah, they've got to win those games in hand, haven't they?
Yeah, and it's weird with Ashton, because they had that run where they won four in a row, and it really looked like, you know what, they're pulling away here. And you then looked at the next set of fixtures, and, you know, they lose to Preston, which, you know, wasn't a particular shock. Lost to Hyde will hurt a bit, but a good win against Mikkelover, and then a really close game against FC United, and a really close game against Morpeth Town. And, you know, while the results maybe haven't been going their way, you know, they're certainly not being blown away by sides who have certainly been higher in that table. And you then look at Lancaster, and they had that poor run of form, and they've certainly got over it, you know, with a good win against Baysford, good win against Nantwich. Okay, they lost to Bamber Bridge, but then a draw against Atherton and a great win against Whitby. You know, I think it is just that thing of how competitive this division is, because in a lot of leagues, there's probably three or four teams where you just think, right, they're never going to be any of the teams near the top of the table, that's it. But in this division, it really is the case of if a team doesn't turn up on a day, they're going to be losing, you know, no matter who they play. So it's just going to be, it's another one where for Ashton, I think it's four games in hand on Gainsborough, Hyde, Mikkelover. I think it's three games in hand on Grantham. And I think they've got one game in hand on Nantwich. But again, games in hand, they're great and everything, but you've got to get something from those games. And they'll see this as, it'll be a tough opportunity, but it still is. It's a game at home and, you know, they've got to see it as an opportunity to try and get something.
Now, we mentioned Gainsborough Trinity earlier. Great result for them last weekend. They travelled to Radcliffe. They have won away from home. I think they did beat Lancaster, didn't they, a while ago. They've had a few draws in there as well. But the away form isn't the story of Gainsborough Trinity's season in a positive way, is it? It's been about home results mainly this year. For Gainsborough Trinity, they're travelling to Radcliffe this weekend. Gainsborough, that win last weekend, they'll have done, like I touched upon earlier, have done themselves a great service in just relieving that pressure somewhat. Another win, and they're almost there, aren't they? Getting to 33 points.
Well, I mean, you know, I think when you look at Gainsborough, the difference between their home and their away form is, it's absolutely remarkable, because at home, they've lost one game in the league. And yet, away from home, they've won one game. You know, they've got a really young squad. They've got a manager, you know, who's kind of cutting his teeth. Obviously, had a distinguished playing career in non-league. But I think for Gainsborough, they know if they could just improve their away form ever so slightly, they're going to be nowhere near the relegation places come the end of this season, because their home form is so good. It is, you know, it is so impressive. And I think they'll look at Radcliffe, lost the last two league games, but again, they've played two of the teams that are there or thereabouts when it comes to the title race. So it's going to be a very interesting one, this, because I think Gainsborough will probably look at it and think, you know, you've got to try and take your chance at some point. But I think for Radcliffe, they won't be too disheartened from the last two defeats. And it's one of those where it's the mentality for Gainsborough of, you know, their away form is just so different to their home form. Can they change that in some way? Because, again, the prize is there for them if they can do that. Because, you know, safety will happen if they can just improve their away form ever so slightly.
Baysford United next, Tom. Baysford United taking on Nantwich Town. Baysford, there's a new management team in there. They're going to be in transition now, aren't they? They're going to be looking to next season. Or am I wrong in assuming that?
Obviously, what's happening with the ownership, the management team, you know, look, if they go on a fantastic run and win all their league games, obviously nothing's out of the question. But after the last three losses, if they'd won them three games, you know, you'd probably be looking and thinking, well, they're right in there, aren't they? It's just very interesting now to see what happens.
And finally, and for those people who've now written five emails complaining about how we've missed off the game at the actual game of this weekend, it's now time to discuss that particular game. And it's a mammoth game down at the bottom end of the table. Mikkelover against Witton Albion. It's a must not lose this one for Mikkelover, given how many games they've played more than Witton. A win for Witton would be huge, given the games in hand they've got. But what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, if you're looking at an absolute relegation six-pointer, kind of this is where we are, aren't we? Because Mikkelover, if they do go behind Witton and having played four games more, I mean, it's kind of unthinkable for them compared to what happened last season. And I think for Witton, again, they're in this weird thing of they've not had a great run of form. at the start of October, they got a couple of wins, and then since, and it hasn't really worked. But at what point do you go, right, we've got four games in hand, that's great, we've still got four games in hand, but it's all well and good having the games. You've got to be picking up points in these matches. And I think both teams will look at this as, right, this is could be season-defining, because if Witten were to get the win, build that bit of momentum, go ahead of them, obviously they've got some tough games coming up after that, but with the games in hand they've got on Mikulova, the pressure on Mikulova would be big. Well, if Mikulova were to get the win, just gives them a little bit of breathing space over the likes of Witten. Obviously, it isn't over there at all for them because of where they are, but I mean, it's a massive game, isn't it? And I think the relegation places, you're probably looking at Grantham and saying they've got a massive amount of work to do to stay up. But for every other team, there is a real hope that, you know, just a little bit of run of form, three or four wins in a row, and they could be that team that stay up and maybe drag one or two teams that are at the moment looking safe into that relegation dogfight. I mean, it is just going to be a fascinating couple of weeks coming up and all going on to what will hopefully be the end, you know, of a very dramatic season.
Yeah, just to add, Witten Albion, one of their games in hand takes place on Tuesday. They're travelling to South Shields. So that's what we're talking about there. You'd rather have the points on the board, wouldn't you, than the games in hand. Certainly if one of those games in hand is a trip to Mariners Park. But South Shields have been beaten at Mariners Park this season, haven't they? Other games on Tuesday night, FC United taking on Whitby Town. Just throw that one out there. Morpeth Town taking on Stalybridge Celtic and Radcliffe taking on Stafford Rangers. So a big Tuesday night there for the teams who've got their eye on having a push for the playoffs, that's for sure. But Thomas Feeney, big thank you, as always, for taking the time out your Wednesday afternoon to come on the show to walk us through these fixtures this weekend. A job well done, my friend. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. Plenty of non-league musings on your Twitter feed. How can people follow your work?
Yeah, if you want to get bored rigid with non-league football, my Twitter's at Thomas Feeney.
Well, Thomas Feeney, have a lovely weekend, my friend, and we'll catch up soon.
Speak to you in a bit, mate.
And a big thank you to Thomas Feeney for joining us on this week's show. And that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.